Blog Talk Radio.
Family, and welcome to another Thursday edition of Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio broadcast coming to you from Blog Talk Radio. Our topic tonight, GuapCoin, Black cryptocurrency, Black wealth. We're joined tonight by Sister Tavanya Evans, and we're going to have a powerful conversation on how to build Black wealth. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. And good evening, family. Welcome to Dare to Win. And yes, our roots began in Africa. It really doesn't matter where the slave ships dropped us off. It's where they picked us up that's most important, as Dr. Henry Clark so often reminded us. So whether we still live on the continent, in the Caribbean, South America, North America, Asia, or Europe, all of our roots began in Africa. Good evening. And welcome to Dare to Win. This is the Us Lifting Us weekly broadcast. And my name is Brother Ankti. And I'm excited and pleased tonight to have joining us for this conversation on GuapCoin, the Black cryptocurrency, and Black wealth with Sister Tavanya Evans to join the conversation tonight. And I know you're going to want to be part of this talk show tonight. The number is 929-477-2789. Again, to call in, 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad. That will raise your hand in the studio. We'll open your line and receive your comment or hear your question. If you're listening to us via your computer, go to usliftingus.com. That's usliftingus.com. Click on Ulu Radio, and that will lead you to a tab that says Listen Live, and you can come into the broadcast that way. So I want to say good evening to our dear sister, Tavanya Evans. How are you feeling this evening, Sister Evans?
I'm very well. Good evening.
And thank you again for agreeing to come on the program tonight. And as I said, we are super excited. So much is going on in the world right now. To say that we are living in uncertain and troubling times is an understatement. And with all the information and news about the recent insurrection attempt on the Capitol, what gets lost in the sauce is that we have reached a point in the functioning of capitalism, in this late stage of capitalism, where democracy is now an impediment to what the rulers of this system, the 1%, are trying to do. And that's why Trump has been allowed to run rampage for 4 years. And even as bizarre as his behavior is, the country is being softened up to move from this kind of individual, free-flowing, private enterprise, privately owned, privately controlled, to more of a state capitalism. And so it's in this kind of historical moment that something like a black cryptocurrency becomes extremely important as a resource for black people in this country and around the world. We must change the global mode of production from capitalism to cooperatives. We must develop our own currency, and we must build a united African continent. Anything short of this keeps us enslaved by those who've shown that they fear us and they hate us. So, Sister Tavanya, help us to, many of our listeners may not be that familiar with the world of cryptocurrency. And you've been on the show at least two times prior. And I think going back maybe to October, early November, and a lot has happened even since then. So bring us up to speed, help our audience to understand basically what is going on in the digital cryptocurrency universe and how this we come to this moment and can appreciate the fact that you and your team and your genius have brought forward black currency that is owned by our people and controlled by our people. So give us the background, and then we'll proceed from there.
Well, there's definitely been a lot going on. You know, I think COVID in 2020 has sped up and definitely disrupted many, many things and
yes.
caused a huge uptick in the world of cryptocurrency. Essentially, you know, this Bitcoin has been in the news a lot because of its bullish run since the last quarter of 2020. And I think that can be attributed to the basically the legitimizing of Bitcoin and the entry of institutions into the world of cryptocurrency. I mean, they've always been there, but now it's legitimate now.
Yeah.
It's okay to admit that they're involved in crypto and that they advise their constituents to get involved into crypto. So Bitcoin is becoming an institutional asset now. And, you know, there are more companies coming out. PayPal, for instance, is just launched its cryptocurrency portion, which, you know, is allowing the buying essentially of cryptos and, you know, and also spending cryptos in stores that accept PayPal. So that's pretty huge because PayPal is a pretty big entity. So you have these big entities now that are getting into the game, and that definitely changes the game considerably. So there's definitely a lot going on. You know, sometimes you might get involved in the crypto, and it might be on the downside, or you know, when it's kind of bearish and it's kind of quiet. But you know, pretty much if you've been involving yourself in the last two months or so, you're actually coming in on a new high note. Even when it drops, it's still higher than it was, you know, months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of excitement. You know, there's a lot going on in regards to cryptocurrency right now.
Why is cryptocurrency being pushed by these major central banks and companies and certainly PayPal? Is there a shift moving towards? Are we in the middle of some kind of economic reset, and this is the new currency platform that's coming at us?
Yeah, we certainly are. I wouldn't say that they're pushing it. It's almost like I would say that many of these companies now that are getting involved, it's more like they're getting dragged, and you know what I mean? Because it's not like they're literally going out and admitting still to the general public that this is a thing and that virtual currencies are the future. They're just kind of slipping and working it in. You know what I mean? And you know, ever so cautiously. So they're still very cautious about it. That what really bent their arms into having to get involved in the first place is China. But China is very close to really, really, really implementing their digital currency on a broad scale. And that is what's putting pressure on a lot of other countries.
What's the name of the Chinese cryptocurrency?
The digital yuan, but I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Before we get too deep into this, I want to ask a couple of basic questions so that those of us who may not be that familiar with the world of cryptocurrency can have some basic understanding. So for one thing, for people who may not be that familiar with it, how does this digital currency compare, say, to a person's use of their credit card or their debit card?
Which digital currency are you referring to?
GuapCoin. If I buy GuapCoin, help me connect this with something that
how
I'm familiar with.
Well, credit cards and debit cards are not currencies. They facilitate the purchase of, you know, the purchases using a balance somewhere of a currency, but they're not currencies.
Right.
Now, they are a digital tool, and cryptocurrency is digital. And because in the virtual and because of their virtual nature, you never really get to see, quote unquote, money pass through it. So in some ways, it's still virtual. But the difference is that cryptocurrency, it is money. It's money. It's not just when you have a wallet, it's not connected to some bank account somewhere where there's a balance. It's a part of the blockchain. It's connected directly to the source, and your wallet enables you to be the bank. When you have a debit or credit card, it's connected to a bank. You know what I mean? It's connected to other financial institutions to bring you your money.
Okay. So one of the things that you said that struck me the last time you were on the show, you said that the GuapCoin helps our people to understand the value of our spending data. And you were trying to help us to understand that in today's world, data is wealth. So put those together for our audience so that we can better understand the terrain that we find ourselves on.
Yeah, hold on one second, I'm sorry. Guapcoin, all cryptocurrency and blockchain is an immutable ledger, number one, and it has data. It's carrying data. And data is a currency, by the way. We talked about that. I think we touched on that before. But we, as a bull, we often talk about the black dollar, right? And this black dollar is this fictional thing that exists that is used to quantify our spending data, right? And we don't know how accurate it is. We don't know how skewed it is. We know that this is essentially data that's served to us. You know what I mean? This is not data in which we have any type of background on or explanation on or anything like that. It's just that the results of this data is served to us. And usually it's, of course, the negative results. And that's the spending, right? We don't get a chance to, we don't get an opportunity to really analyze any other components of that. Like, okay, so we're spending data, but how much, I mean, we're spending the quote unquote black dollar, which is the dollar. But when we do things like we want to support businesses in our community and we want to make an impact and we want impact in our community and we want businesses to grow, how do we actually determine that data? You know what I mean? Because that, again, there is really no black dollar. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's assumed that we're spending money and it's going out, but there's no way to track what it's doing while it's in our community and why, you know, what type of impact we're making and how does it help our businesses to grow. Now, what can do that is blockchain, of course, and Guapcoin, because Guapcoin specifically created to address those issues, you know, up front and to be able to address the issues of the so-called dollar. Now, this is a real dollar. This is a real currency. It's a real black currency. So being able to utilize this data that we get from this currency and segment it from the world empowers us to see what our real dollar is doing and what we need to do to grow our communities even more. So, because that's what a blockchain is as well. I mean, you can peer into a blockchain, you can peer into the data, you can see the wallet addresses, you can see what's spending what, and it's pseudo-anonymous, so it's not necessarily connected to a name and a social security number, but what it is connected to and what it can be connected to is business. You know what I mean? So if we have businesses that publicly disclose their addresses, which they will and they can, we can actually see how money is flowing into these businesses. We can actually follow the growth of these businesses and see how much of an impact we're doing. We're partnering with a platform called TrustD, which is a data analytics platform. And we've already started gathering data on businesses, black businesses that have signed up to be able to accept Guapcoin. You know, and it's very simple. It's very simple analysis, but it's important. We as black folks, we have really, really, really get a grip on how important data is. You know what I mean? And how important it is to business, especially. So at the end of the day, we don't have to have businesses closing in the community and not knowing what happened. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm pretty sure you've known the businesses that seem to be doing very well. They're part of the community, but they maybe, A, were unable to scale, or B, they just suddenly closed down. It's like, well, what happened to this business? Why did this business have to close down? Recently, I had a business in my community that did that. It's one of my favorite bakeries, a black-owned bakery here in Georgia. And I've been patronizing her for a while. And one day I go and she's closing down, and I don't know why. Of course, it's linked to money. But, you know, having something like blockchain and having our own currency, we can catch businesses that are at risk and possibly help them. You know what I mean? Not only creating financial products on top of the blockchain, like lending and micro lending and business lending products, but we can analyze the data and see who's at risk and see what we might be able to do to help them out.
Right. Now, some of our listeners are familiar with the term blockchain, but for those that might not have heard that before, break that down for us. What are you talking about when you say blockchain?
Well, blockchain is the underlying technology, underlying proportion of blockchain. Blockchain can be used for so many different things. What it is a public ledger, and it's immutable. And the reason it's called a block is because the information or the data is contained within blocks that are created at specific times. So on one particular blockchain, you may have a block creation of one minute or 60 seconds. And that 1 minute or that 2 megabyte piece of the blockchain or blockchain that's added to the platform contains a bunch of transactions. It contains it could be transactional data from spending. It could be data that's written to the blockchain, but it contains this information. And this information cannot be changed, right? It cannot be, you cannot write over it like, you know, maybe a database. You can remove data. A lot of people like to say it's a database, but it's not because, you know, certain databases you can, or all databases, you can remove data, you can add to data. You cannot change anything on this blockchain. You're going to have a record of everything all the way up to the beginning of the blockchain and a record that's publicly viewable by everyone. So, you know, so that's one of the powerful things about it is it builds trust because it can't be changed, number one. You know what I mean? People may not trust one another when it comes to transactions, but if you have a public ledger of transactions that can't be changed and you can literally just pull up these transactions and addresses, that increases the ability of trust. And it reduces you even having to have people to oversight that. That's why it's called decentralized. You don't have to have an authority in between to verify the validity of a transaction that's included on a ledger that cannot be changed. So that's one of the beautiful things about it. Another thing about blockchain is that a copy of the blockchain or the records are stored on computers everywhere. Right. And they all contain an exact copy of the data. Right. So if you knock down some servers over here in New York or whatever case may be, there's about 1 million other, you know, 1,000, depending on what chain it is, other servers that contain the exact information somewhere else. So because one country goes down or one state goes down or something happens here, it does not have to affect the whole blockchain. The blockchain can continue to run, you know, because there are servers that help it run all over the world. So that's another thing. Another thing is that it's borderless. You know, it doesn't depend on some entity between a country facilitating any type of transaction. It doesn't even see any of that. It's like the internet of money.
Wow. Okay. And that really helps us to understand it, because what you said was it's a ledger. So everyone mm-hmm. participating in these transactions can see all the transactions. Mm-hmm. And so you're right. It really does. I mean, in other words, I don't have to trust you because I'm looking at what is actually going
looking at it right here. Right.
Right. And then, as you point out, it sounds like it's really helpful when perhaps the political reality is shifting wildly. It's nice to know that this blockchain can withstand a lot of that volatility, and right. and whether you're in here or in the Caribbean or the continent, it's still functioning and taking care of business.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay. Hold that thought. When we come back, you mentioned decentralization. I want to talk about that a little bit. And then, so we're going to take a quick 2 minute music break. I think we are. and on the other side of the break, we'll continue the conversation. Family, stay with us.
Okay.
It's going to get better and better. Thank you. And we're back. And of course, that was none other than Donny Hathaway's The Ghetto. And on that note, Sister, by the way, family, we are talking with Sister Tavanya Evans, founder of the Guap Coin, Black Digital Cryptocurrency, available for the Black community worldwide. Sister Evans is not only, she has a decades career in IT, an engineer, a marketing executive, and in 2017 created the Guap Coin. So let me ask two questions real quick, Sister Evans. One, how does Guap Coin help us as a community to be more self-determining in this country and globally? What would you say to that?
Well, I mean, it helps us to take control of our financial voice and our financial power, to have some level of control, to have some level of autonomy where we can operate. And one of the beautiful things about cryptocurrency in general is that you're creating something literally from scratch that grows very quickly. You know what I mean? And not only does it grow, it's a shared community effort. It's a shared community thing. Literally, by participating in some form of fashion, you become a part of this currency. You become a part of this community. So it's super duper duper important to who we are today, because as a people, we're very rich in one thing, and that one thing is social currency. We have a lot of influence. We have way more influence than we know. And oftentimes there are other entities, there's corporations, whether it's the internet itself, social networks, music, the music industry or whatever. There's a lot of people that are taking advantage of our social currency and benefiting from it. And having our own currency will allow us to benefit from our own social currency in a way that has never happened before in our lifetime.
So let me pause you right there. So I want to ask two questions. One, I'm thinking about it from the collective standpoint. In other words, this sounds a lot like Ujamaa for real. 2021.
Yeah.
But how does an individual, for example, use GuapCoin? What does one person who may be listening to this program, if they had Guap in their wallet, how do they use that?
Well, I mean, because it's a currency, this is something that we'll be using to spend to pay people, to trade or whatever, just like any other currency. We're working on making that ecosystem a lot simpler for just the basic person to do. But on a basic level, just having a wallet, you can send a payment to someone. You know what I mean? So,
okay. So
pretty
if
much
I'm
any.
So someone has written a book and they say, hey, you want to get this book? It's whatever price it is. I can purchase that book using GuapCoin. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Exactly. Yes.
Okay. Okay. We have a question. We have a caller. Let me get this question real quick, Sister Evans. Caller, last three numbers of your phone number, 3440. Your line is open. Please tell us where you're calling from, your name, and comment or ask your question.
Yeah, greetings and good evening to you, Sister Tavanya and Brother Ankti. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Up north, up south, as Brother Malcolm used to say. Sis, I really appreciate the clarification that you offered. Between the credit cards and GuapCoin or digital currency, that really helped out a lot in my mind. But I'm an old timer. I know a little bit about computers, but I'm an old timer. So if my question seemed a little bit soft, or hard, it's because I'm an old timer. But I want to get a little bit understanding, because what you're saying, I have a lot of things running through my mind. Particularly a lot of stuff is going on, in the internet and the cloud. So you mentioned wallet earlier, and then Brother Auntie just picked up the term wallet again. So I'm looking at a wallet like a wallet I got in my pocket. Now, would a wallet, and straighten me out if I'm a little off, would the wallet be synonymous with, let's say, some software on my computer or on my phone that allows me to communicate with a server that has, this blockchain that you described, which has to be a lot of energy going through that, and then through that connection there, I can interact in commerce with other people who will send money or buy this or buy a book or what have you. Clear that up for me, and I really appreciate what you've been saying, and I can see this currency going a long way. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Absolutely. You explained it perfectly. What a wallet is a piece of software, whether it's a Android, iOS, or desktop, or whatever, because there's all types of varieties of wallets that allow you to interact with the blockchain. On a base level, each and every person that gets involved with the blockchain is given an address and a private key, right? You're given, and you can have as many of these as you want. But what a wallet does is it holds that address and private key, and it gives you a GUI, what we kind of call GUI, or a visual way of sending and receiving transactions to the blockchain and to other people, right? Because it's kind of like, remember back in the days, I don't know, you may not remember, you may not know, but back in the days, a lot of things on the computer were done what we call command line, meaning that you had to type in a few commands and then you would get a response. And then Apple came in the picture and made it GUI. So now you no longer have to type in commands. You can actually point and click and open up software, et cetera. Well, blockchain starts at a command line as a command line interface. And that's the way it started. And then ultimately it became what we call GUI, just like Windows or Mac. And it became visual. So now these visual tools that can send and receive back and forth or interact or create new wallet addresses, et cetera, without having to use command line. So this is like, again, this is a repeat of how the internet started. That's why I like to call it the internet of money or, you know, internet 3.0 or whatever, because it's following that same path. So now we have years down the line where many people have contributed different applications, and now it's a lot more visual. So now you have these visual tools that enable you to interact with the blockchain without having to get on your computer and fire command line.
Wow. Brother Shabaka, that question took way back, brother, because Sister Tavanya is reminding us of that thing we used to call MS-DOS, where you, you wrote commands into your computer and it carried it out. Then the graphic user interface or the GUI by Apple allowed you just to touch and point and click, and you were up and running. So when you say blockchain or Guapcoin is the graphic user interface of cryptocurrency, makes it even easier to grasp what you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So now here's what I'm trying to wrap my mind around or get a better picture of, Sister Tavanya. In looking at the information on your website, which, by the way, family, to get more information, if you go to Guapcoin, GUAPCOIN.com, it'll take you to the website.
Or.org.
It'll take you to the website. And there's so much information. You can get up to speed in cryptocurrency in a pretty relatively short time. You have to stay with it, but it's there for you. So a couple of things. In a volatile situation, I get the sense that Guapcoin has stability that could be very helpful for us. But I'm still, and what I hear when you say it's a black currency, now that excites me. I don't know how other listeners hear this, because we recognize in Us Lifting Us that we are a co-op, and we are building a series of co-op businesses to meet our needs. The problem is that especially when we're doing business overseas or in the Caribbean, we are transacting these things using dollars. If I'm hearing you correctly, Mr. Tavanya, you're saying we can dispense with the dollars and begin to do these same transactions in Guapcoin. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And how does that fit us? In other words, we control this currency, and that opens up more avenues for us to be self-determining, would you say?
Yes. I mean, we control the currency because we control the narrative of the currency. You know what I mean? Unless somebody a century down the line turns around and says, well, yeah, that was it was created for something other than we say it is, we have an opportunity to craft a narrative of Guapcoin, and we crafted that narrative from the very beginning. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like this. Because the narrative is that this is a black coin, anyone that gets involved with it, whether they're black or not, is subscribing to the idea that this is a black coin.
Just like
our numbers make the dollar even more powerful. You know what I mean? Like the fact that we're spending the dollar, we're adding our power to the dollar. So whoever comes over and adds their power to Guapcoin, they're adding their power to Guapcoin, the black currency.
You said a couple of things that are really important. If we heard you, one, you said it gives us a chance to control our narrative. And what I like about that is part of what we are doing in Us Lifting Us is we're trying to inject or bring back into use in our community a black value system based on mm-hmm. Ubuntu. I am because we are, and because we are, therefore I am, based on Ma'at, and based on the Nguza Saba. In other words, we find that when we do a lot of transactions in dollars, that seems to have a certain energy to it that causes us to be kind of graspy or moral inclined to take advantage of one another. I think mm-hmm. if I'm here, right, Guapcoin allows us to take this narrative in a different way. Is that what you had in
yes.
mind?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
we can craft it, and we are crafting it from the very beginning.
So then you're also suggesting that Guapcoin becomes a community in and of itself.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So what drove you to want to create the Guapcoin?
Well, I was driven by many reasons. You know, there was one point in my life that I saw this whole buy black thing, and I was like, why are we buying black when we don't have our own money? We need to have our own currency. You know, that was just always a real base thing to me in my mind. So I investigated alternative currencies for a while, and I saw that our main barrier with all the other alternative currencies is the fact that they were attached to precious metals and things out there that we don't have ownership or control over. So that does, I look at things as obstacles. So I'm like, okay, there's another obstacle that these alternative currencies are backed by these things that we don't even have control over. So, you know, boom, boom, boom. But now fast forward to cryptocurrency, and which is not backed by, cryptocurrency is not backed by, or decentralized currencies are not backed by metals and stuff like that. What they are backed by is faith. That's one thing, a major thing.
What?
Scarcity.
What are you saying?
Faith. F-A-I-T-H.
Faith.
They're as strong
okay.
as people believe they are. And I think that that's really powerful, because I honestly don't think that there's probably no people on earth that have that level of faith that we do. Unfortunately, we tend to have that faith in things outside of our community. So we
okay.
may have misplaced faith. I don't have a problem with faith. I just have a problem with the fact that we have faith in other people's stuff. And so we are that driven, and it's that drive that helps us to overcome almost any obstacle out there. If we were to be able to apply that same drive to something that is ours, that fuel would be so powerful, you know. And then on top of that, it's something that we need to visually see as a collective. You know, this is something, cryptocurrency and blockchain has been almost like a virus. You know
okay.
what I mean? It's spread out of control, and no a governing authority has been able to stop it. You know what I mean? So that's another thing, another reason that I look at it like, hey, this is the perfect tool for us, because nobody makes things go viral more than we do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make something that goes viral, something that is impactful on us as it is, we are going to literally change the face of the world.
We're getting ready to take another quick break, and then when we come back, I want to pick up on what you said about Guapcoin not being based on precious metals, but being based on faith. I mean, that I really had to stop and think about that for a second. So hold on. Money, 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 money. We're back. If you're just joining us, we're having a very, very interesting conversation, powerful conversation with Sister Tavanya Evans, the creator of Guapcoin, Black Digital Cryptocurrency. I see Sister Tavanya, we have a caller. Let me open their line and receive their comment or their question. Caller with the last four digits, 8912. Would you get your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question? Your line is open.
Yes, family, this is your brother Thurman calling from Richmond, Virginia. And Sister Tavanya, we thank you so much for being on the call. And I want you to, before the call ends, and I'm in favor that if we go over 5 or 10 minutes beyond the 10 o'clock hour, let's do it. It's very important that we get this, that we control our own narrative. And tell the people, before you get off the call, and I'm going to get off the line, how Guapcoin compares to Bitcoin and all the excitement about Bitcoin and what a Bitcoin is selling for now. And just give us guidance on how we're going to grow this Guapcoin, and because we want to control our own narrative and be faithful and loyal to us. And so just tell us how we're going to do that. And I'm going to get off the line. Thank you.
It's interesting that you mentioned the comparison, because Bitcoin is like literally nearly 13 years old. So what that means is 13 years ago, Bitcoin is exactly where any beginning cryptocurrency would have been. You understand what I'm saying? And because it was the first, it was a lot more difficult to build. It was definitely a lot more difficult to penetrate and to get out there in audiences, because you're talking about the average audience in early Bitcoin days, and these might have been network administrators, network engineers, computer geeks, stuff like that, at the very, very early software developers and programmers, and you know what I mean? So these are the people that it appealed to. So that was a very, very small audience, you know what I mean? And now look at it. Look at it, you know, like I said, almost 13 years later, nearly 40,000 times more valuable than the dollar. You know what I mean? So If you look at it from that perspective, you're like, whoa, you know, the potential is tremendous. So fast forward to Guapcoin, we've been out since 2017. We really started gaining traction in 2019, and that's when we launched our own stable version of the blockchain and got off of any other association with the blockchain, and we're building our audience. But again, we have access to an audience that's far beyond what the computer programmer audience was when Bitcoin started. You understand? Literally, it may take one of us, one influencer, to totally change the face of what this coin is going to look like in comparison to the dollar. So I'm very excited, because again, I know that we have such we have a lot of powerful tools at our disposal, and it's only a matter of time before we achieve some of our major objectives.
So thank you, Brother Thurman, for your call, and thank you, Sister Tavanya, for that very powerful answer. Question then, so how does a person get into Guap? What's step one? How much does it cost? I know there's a thing called a node, and then there's a master node. Give some of the basic mechanics for how someone who's listening to this program might become an owner of GuapCoin.
Well, the first thing that you want to do is install a wallet, of course. And that wallet, again, we talked about, is just an app. So you can the easiest wallets to get is an Android and iOS wallet. So if you have an Android phone, like a Galaxy, excuse me, or another phone, you can get it from the Android store, Google Play. If you have an Apple, an iPhone, you can get it from the iOS store, the Apple store. So that's the first thing that you want to do. The next thing that you want to do is join the community, one of the community sources, but especially the Telegram, because if you join the Telegram, you're going to have access to an entire community that can help you along on the process. And some of this process might be a little bit advanced for some people because they're not used to buying and trading on exchanges and on the market. But we are currently working on some solutions that are going to make this a lot easier. That's what we do. We spend a lot of time figuring out how we can make this easy. I have a 98-year-old grandmother that knows about GuapCoin, and I want to make it easy for her. You know what I mean? So that's what we're working on. So we will be launching what's called a peer-to-peer trading platform in about a week or so, and that's going to allow people to get GuapCoin just from other people, which is like probably the most base ways you can enter into the crypto space. So we'll be releasing that. Another thing we're working on is two debit cards. One of them is an in-network card. The other one is it will be an out-network card that would be Visa or MasterCard. So essentially, you'll be able to spend your GuapCoin anywhere that takes a Visa or MasterCard. Our debit cards are these cards that feature Harriet Tubman, and we talk about leading people to financial freedom this time. And in terms of what the cost is, the cost is benchmark, of course, against the U.S. dollar. And right now on Probit, it's trading at about 3 cents a coin. But that's literally something that can change almost instantly depending on the trading volume. So, but the fact that we've been able to at least maintain over 1 cent for as long as we have, because most coins, as they're growing, you know, if they haven't hit that million mark in terms of, you know, community and audience, they can slip under a penny very quickly, because like a lot of people are talking about Dogecoin right now, which Elon Musk shouted out, and that one, I think Doge is not even a penny yet. So, you know, again, with the little bit smaller amount of promotion and the word just kind of hitting the street, we're doing very well.
So what is a node? How much does it cost? And what is a master node? Can we?
Okay, so we have something also called master nodes, and
excuse me,
master nodes make the network. It adds to the security of the network. It also allows us to have fast transactions, right? And normally, a masternode is something that is incentivized, meaning if you own one, you're going to get paid for having one. Normally, it's very difficult. It takes a bit of a learning curve to do it yourself, to set one up. But we do have ways of getting masternodes for newbies. Like one of the ways is actually purchasing a masternode on our pool site. Or purchasing a share of a masternode, which is like a quarter of a masternode on the pool site. And these are ways that help people with a non-technical background get involved and actually earn coins. Because when you own a masternode, their coins are going to be sent to your wallet every day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And so, again, we would go to GuapCoin.com or GuapCoin.org to get started on either one of those.
Okay.
So now I saw some information talking about cryptocurrencies, and it sounded like in the moments that we have left, help us to understand this idea of WAPCoin being decentralized, and in light of that, are the central banks trying to find ways to capture guap, to capture cryptocurrency, and so what will be the future, for example, of WAPCoin as these large banking institutions move into the market and try to flex their muscle?
Well, that's the thing. I think that by the time that happens for WAPCoin, we will have considerably a large enough community, and our community is protective. Our community is able to vote. Our community is able to determine whether we want to make associations with various organizations or corporations or companies or whatever. You know what I mean? That's the beautiful thing about having a community and having a strong community base like we're building, because that's what decentralization is about. Decentralization in crypto is, you know, these are community run coins. They don't have a particular entity that's running them. There's no corporate entity or anything. I'm just the founder. But what we are composed of is the community. And the community gets to make decisions and raise decisions to the community members for them to vote.
Okay. So WAPCoin, when we boil it down, is a community of brothers and sisters using this medium, this currency, as a way of doing business with one another.
Absolutely.
And doing it based on faith. And the more humanistic values that is reflective of who we have been and still are as a people. Would you say that?
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Well, no better.
In the minute that we have left, is there any thoughts that you want to leave with the audience to help us understand and give some impetus to purchasing WAPCoin, beginning to participate in this black digital currency?
Again, I think the first things that you're going to want to do is, and this is what I urge the community to do, is to reflect and think about the value that we have. We have to take that's because that very value that we have is what's going to fuel the value for this currency. So I want people to really reflect on our overall value and to stop thinking that we don't have value, to stop thinking that we're powerless, and to start acknowledging and recognize that we're the battery and the fuel for almost everything that runs in America. You know what I mean? From the internet to the music industry, to the entertainment industry. We've been the battery and the fuel for these things for a very, very long time. So reclaiming that, what I call social currency, is the first step in creating our own currency, reclaiming that, and just visualizing that, understanding that, passing that on and communicating that to your family members, just how much of a value, how valuable we are, because they know we're valuable. You know, everybody outside of ourselves knows we're valuable but us. So that's the first step. So once we start reclaiming that, we're going to want to funnel that into something that we can use. And that's the beautiful thing about WAPCoin and having consider it to be the vehicle for our social currency so that we can use it and we can grow it and we can make changes in our ecosystem, the changes that we need to make because we have the financial resources to do so.
That's a powerful word, very powerful word. And so, family, as we get ready to go out, I would simply say this. It's amazing to me how the ancestors have brought these forces and entities together at this moment in 2021. We've got a co-op, which is an economic model that allows us to, rather than exploit one another, cooperate and share resources. And as Sister Tavani pointed out, we didn't have a currency. Now, not only do we have a cooperative framework in which to relate to one another, now we have a currency that strengthens the community, expands the community, and is an actual reflection of our value and our worth. We are living in a moment when all the forces are conspiring together to help us be successful, to guarantee our successful in this moment. In other words, we've been longing for, dreaming about, and hoping all this time for this kind of progress, and now it's right here at our doorstep. It's just a matter of making the step, get you some guap coin, go to the us website, become a member of the co-op, and let's build businesses and expand this currency around the world. We're valuable, and now is the time for us to step up and well, what we take for the community. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Appreciate you staying up late to be with us. I know you got a family.
Thank
to handle.
You.
We hope you'll come back. Every time we do this, we're just scratching the
surface. I definitely enjoyed the conversation. Anytime.
Okay, now, family, you all be well, be safe. Thank those who called, and we'll be back next Thursday and do it all over again.
Thank you.